Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and all of you who are joining us online. I've gotten a message from Susan Lohr this morning. Anna has a really large kidney stone and is actually on her way to surgery right now to have it removed, worked on, not quite sure, but she asked that we all be in prayer for Anna. So that's happening right now. We have just a few announcements this morning. One, there was a little glitch in the, a typo in the bulletin, so the offertory isn't the blessing. It's "Here I am, Lord," which is based on our Old Testament lesson for today. I think you'll hear that connection. Just a reminder for council folks, there's a brief called meeting after worship. And for all of us, the fellowship committee is hosting a soup and sandwich lunch. And there is plenty back there and it smells delicious. So we hope that you will all join us for that. Part of why they offer it on this particular Sunday, it's Super Bowl Sunday, but we also do S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl Sunday, to get some donations for our blessing box, but also the annual audits are this afternoon, and this means that our account treasurers can have lunch here and don't have to run home and figure out what to do for lunch. So thank you to the Fellowship Committee for hosting that. If any of you are willing to stay after the lunch and help with some of the table and chairs cleanup, that would be much appreciated. We are continuing to enjoy our Christian Calendar Sunday School class that Pastor Jennifer is leading. We're watching the movie clips from the movie Simon Birch and thinking about how the themes and emotions connected to the different liturgical seasons are intertwined in our lives. This morning's class had a tearjerker, did it not? Did everybody reach for their Kleenexes? All right, so yes, audits are this afternoon. Also, annual reports are due, so if you are part of a group that needs to submit one, if you'll remind your secretary or whoever is offered to do that to submit it today. Just a brief note to look ahead. In less than a month is Ash Wednesday. That'll be on March 5th. So I encourage you to start thinking about Lent and what your Lent might look like, what Lenten practices you might take on, and what you might look inside and see is something that is distracting you or hindering you in your relationship with God, and you might give that up for Lent. So don't wait until the Tuesday before Lent to think about that. Begin thinking about that even now. We have several birthdays this morning, and actually we had a couple yesterday. So yesterday was Karen Beck's birthday and Cameron's birthday. Today is Myra's birthday and Herbert's birthday. Tomorrow is Brantley's birthday. And then also this week celebrating a birthday are Carol Conrad, Lincoln Murphy, Kay Brown, Tina Hedrick, David Clark, and Conrad Summer. Celebrating their baptism this week are John Lohr, Jacob, and Wilson Hearn. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as you can see, we've got several prayer shawls this morning. The bottom one here, which I think are apt colors, is for Courtney Mason, who is the daughter of lots of people's friends, Gyla's friends, Tony's friends, James and Marie. So Courtney is undergoing cancer treatments, and so we will bless that for her. And then Laura Samuels died this week. She is a former teacher's assistant at Davis Townsend. She and her husband, their entire family, have been very active in the Holly Grove community for years. And her son, Shane, is at the fire department. And so we are blessing prayer shawls for her husband, James, and her children, Adrian, Shane, and Crystal. So Tony, you take a couple, and then Brantley and I will take care of these. Ready? God, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that we can talk to you and share with you, cry out to you, and you always hear us. We ask that you would hear the cries of our hearts and the words on our lips this morning as we bless these prayer shawls. Be with Courtney, give her strength and endurance as she undergoes her cancer treatments. Be with James and Adrian, Crystal and Shane, as they navigate these hard days and weeks following the death of their wife and mother. We ask that you would comfort them and that you would bring them tangible signs of your love, that they would know deep in their heart you are with them. So we ask that you bless these prayer shawls, and that as these folks feel the weight of these upon their laps or upon their shoulders, that they would feel the weight of the love and care that we have for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. If I'm not forgetting anything, which I wouldn't put past myself, but if I'm not forgetting anything, let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. And forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose steadfast love is everlasting. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God with us, we confess that we have turned away those seeking shelter, claiming there is no room when we have plenty. We have made power and wealth our idols, while you show us true glory, a baby in a manger. We have overlooked the shepherds, expecting good news in prettier packaging. Too often, we have valued violence instead of your peace. Turn us from our ways to your ways. Grant us the grace to begin again. Free us from all that keeps us bound, and forgive our sin. Through Jesus Christ, who gives himself for us. Amen. Hear the good news and rejoice. You are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You are forgiven in Christ and freed to respond in joy. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you angels and saints stand in awe. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world, and by your grace, make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Abigail. Good morning, Sawyer. Is Trevor coming for his first children's sermon? Yay! Is it with your brother? And we've got Matt. Maddie, what do you have here? Is this a prayer shawl? This is a prayer shawl. So Maddie's grandpa broke his leg, and he had to have surgery to fix it, and now he's in rehab to get stronger and to get more mobility. And so we're going to bless a prayer shawl for him. And I was thinking, you know, almost every Sunday, we pass around prayer shawls to pray for people. But I thought we could talk a little bit about this morning. So one of the cool things that we do here at Holly Grove is we have these prayer shawls. And so there are some folks who give yarn or give money to the church. And then there are some people who knit or crochet prayer shawls. And every stitch, you see all these kind of different holes and the ways that the yarn is in there? Hi, baby. Those are stitches. And every stitch in this prayer shawl is stitched with love and with care and with prayer. And even though when somebody is making it, they don't know exactly who is going to get it, they still know that this prayer shawl is meant for that person. And so they pray for them and put love and care into each stitch. And so then on Sundays, what do? We hold these in our hands and we pray for the people who are going to get them. Now, do any of you have lovies at home? Do you have a lovey, Trevor? Oh, Sawyer's your lovey? Do any of you have a lovey? A blanket or a stuffy that's really special that you do? Is it a blanket or stuffy? It's both? Does it have a name? No? Maddie, do you have a stuffy or a lovey? No. Brantley, do you have a stuffy or a lovey? Kate or Cameron? You do? Does it have a name? Abigail, do you have a lovey? No? Well, some kids have loveys, and what loveys do is when they hold that blanket or they hold that stuffy, that lovey gives them some comfort. And maybe when they're scared, it makes them feel a little less alone. Or if they're sad, it makes them feel a little bit better. Well, prayer shawls are kind of like that, because oftentimes when people are sick, of course, they're not feeling the best. They might be in pain, but they can also feel sad or lonely. And so the prayer shawls remind them that they're not alone and that they are loved and cared for and that we are praying for them. So one of my favorite things about these is that after we bless them in the beginning, we pass them around and every single person lays hands on this and prays for that person. And I know that you all do that too, don't you? When the prayer shawl comes around. So I just wanted you to know a little bit more about how these are made and why we do this, because we want to share Jesus' love with these people and ask for God to be with them and to let them know that we are thinking about them and that our love is with them. So should we lay hands on this, Maddie? Will you hold this with me? Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today. Thank you for each other.
Thank you for each other.
And thank you for our church.
Thank you for our church.
Thank you for the prayer shawls.
Thank you for the prayer shawls.
And for all of the love,
and for all the love.
In every stitch.
In every stitch.
We ask that you would be with Maddie's papa.
We ask that you would be with Maddie's papa.
And help his body heal.
And help his body heal.
And get stronger. Bless this prayer shawl.
Bless this prayer shawl.
And bless Maddie's papa.
And bless Maddie's papa.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. Thank you all for coming up this morning. We're going to pass this around while you're at Children's Church. And who has Tina has Children's Church today? And it looks like Isabel is going to help.
The Old Testament lesson today comes from the sixth chapter of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. Two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." The word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fifth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have been working all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love window shopping on Etsy. It's a website where you can buy all kinds of things. It's where I've gotten so many of my liturgical shirts that I love to wear. And here's how I know they've got my number, or that is to say that the algorithms have figured me out. Because just a few days ago, one of the items that popped up that I might be interested in is a t-shirt that says, "The Saints are my friends." I think I'm gonna order it, and I might wear that on All Saints Sunday this year. It's true, though, some of the saints are my friends. Through their writings, several authors have become dear friends, mentors, role models. Through their words, they offer me knowledge and wisdom, support and guidance. Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that hinders us and the sin that clings so closely and run with perseverance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." Well, one of those saints who cheers me on and who I've been thinking about a lot lately is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And so I recently reread one of my favorite writings of his book called The Cost of Discipleship, which he wrote in 1937. For those of you that don't know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian and a German pastor and a Nazi resistor. He wrote in his book about the cost of discipleship with the Lutheran understanding of grace. And so if you've ever heard the phrases cheap grace or costly grace, it comes from Bonhoeffer's writings, and he fleshes those out in this book. He says, cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Costly grace, it confronts us with a grace-filled invitation to follow Jesus. It's costly grace because it calls us to live vicariously and suffer vicariously on behalf of others in our commitment to and obedience to Christ. Over and over in his book, Bonhoeffer emphasizes that costly discipleship emphasizes commitment and obedience to Christ over and above all others. The final cost of Bonhoeffer's discipleship, of his obedience to Christ, was by resisting Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime. 70 years ago this year, he was killed at the age of 39 in a concentration camp after being marched through the camp naked and being hung. You see, discipleship, true discipleship, faithful discipleship, is costly. Because in the words of Pastor Bonhoeffer, your yes to God requires your no to all injustice, to all evil, to all lies, to all oppression and violation of the weak and the poor. Your yes to God requires your no to all injustice, all evil, all lies, all oppression, and violation of the weak and the poor. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is beginning to call disciples. And in our verses today, he starts with Simon and James and John, son of Zebedee, follow. He invites them to follow him, to live a life of discipleship. And so I thought it might be helpful for us to look at the context of Jesus' call to discipleship in the Gospels. Right? Remember that Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. he had Jewish disciples, and they were following him in first century Galilee. Completely different context than ours. Education was then and is still incredibly, incredibly important to Jews. And at the time of Jesus, when Jewish children were about 6 years old, they would go to the local synagogue where they were taught the Torah by a local rabbi. So the Torah are the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this first stage of their education was memorizing those five books. So from the ages of 6 to 10, the children memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This much of their Hebrew Bible. Now, by the time they were done with this stage of their education, many children no longer went to school. So at around the age of 10, many children began to apprentice. Many children began to learn the family trade or business, or learn to manage the household. But the best of the best students, they kept going on to the next stage. And as they progressed in that next stage, from about the ages to 10 to 14, they memorized the rest of the Hebrew scriptures. What does that mean? They had memorized this much. By the age of 14, they had memorized Genesis through Malachi. That much of our Bible. At the age of 14-ish, some of the children decided that it wasn't necessarily for them to keep going, and they went and learned the family business or the family trade. But the best of the best of the best kept going. They would continue to the next level to become a disciple of a rabbi. Now, at this point, the best of the best of the best, as you can imagine, are the smartest, the brightest, the most determined of children. And it was very few of them, because to get to that point was very challenging. But the best of the best of the best at that point would then apply to a rabbi to become a rabbi's disciple. Now, it's important to note that each rabbi had their own interpretation of the Hebrew scriptures and how to live them out. So, for example, one rabbi might say, this verse or this command means this. And another rabbi might say, well, no, I think it means something slightly different. This rabbi's set of interpretations, the way that he understood the Hebrew scriptures and lived them out, was that rabbi's yoke. So when you studied under a rabbi, you took that yoke upon you. And when you applied to that rabbi, if he determined that you were good enough, he would say, come. Come, take my yoke upon you and become my disciple. And so at that time, that 14-year-old would leave everything, friends and family, community, and devote their entire lives to their rabbi and to their rabbi's yoke. So this is a little bit different of an understanding of our modern way of thinking about discipleship, right? But this is what Jesus means by discipleship. Our understanding of a disciple is someone who knows some of the same things that the teacher knows. But in Jesus' day, it was something different, something much deeper. To be a rabbi's disciple meant that you don't just know what the rabbi knows, but you do what the rabbi does to be like the rabbi. You learn to do what the rabbi does so you can be like your rabbi. Pastor Rob Bell talks about this kind of discipleship with an ancient saying, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." You see, rabbis would spend their days taking their disciples around with them, and as they traveled from place to place, they would kick up dust. And because the disciples were following the rabbi so closely, because they had devoted their entire lives to doing what the rabbi did so that they could become like the rabbi, by the end of the day, they were covered in the dust that their rabbi had kicked up. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Well, here's the thing about God. God gives us that choice of whether or not we want to be covered in the dust of our rabbi, Jesus. God gives us the choice to become true and faithful disciples. And as we've seen throughout history and even now, some do choose this path of discipleship. Some choose to follow Jesus so closely, to do what he does, to become like him, that they are covered in the dust of Jesus. But then there are other Christians who are Christians or disciples in name only. And they are covered in the dust of whomever they follow, not Jesus. Remember, Pastor Bonhoeffer describes this by saying, your yes to God requires your no to all injustice, all evil, all lies, all oppression, and violation of the weak and the poor. Are we choosing that kind of costly discipleship? Or are we choosing yes to some injustice, to some evil, maybe a few lies, yes to some oppression and violation to the poor? Because the truth is, even a little bit of yes to those things means that we're saying no to God. It means that we are following someone else or something else, and we are being covered in dust that is not Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus, so that we can know what he knows, so that we can do what he does, so that we can become like him, it means choosing obedience to Jesus above all else and above everyone else. This looks like living out the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. This looks like compassion. It looks like sacrificial love, pouring oneself out for the sake of others. This looks like Jesus turning the world upside down. Right? His yoke has nothing to do with greed or power or the misuse of power. His yoke has nothing to do with violence or harming others in any way. His yoke has nothing to do with oppressing or violating the poor and the weak. Jesus' yoke, the yoke that he wants us to take upon us, means that we will do like he did and be like him. And that means that we will care for the most vulnerable. It means that we will care for the marginalized. It means that we will care for the outcasts and the outsiders. It means that we will listen to over 2,000 verses in Scripture that call us to care for the poor. It means that the last will be first and the first will be last. It means that the least will become the greatest. Taking the yoke of Jesus upon us so that we can become like him means seeing the image of God in every single human being, no matter where they're from, no matter what color their skin is or what language they speak, no matter their gender or who they love. Because the dust of Jesus looks like love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. Sisters and brothers, today, just as on that day, on the shore with those fishermen, Jesus continues to call us to discipleship. But not cheap grace, not cheap discipleship. Jesus calls us to costly discipleship, to devote our entire lives to following him so closely that we will know what he knows, that we will do what he does, and that we will be like him. May we have the courage to be honest with God and ourselves about who we are really following and who we are being obedient to. May we have the courage to be honest about whose dust that we are covered in. And if we find ourselves covered in any kind of dust that is not Jesus, may we have the courage to repent and to do different. May we have the courage to say yes to God and no to all injustice, to all evil, to all lies, to all oppression and violation of the weak and poor. Beloved children of God, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, Jesus. Amen.
Living in trust and hope, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all creation. God of surprising abundance, you call your people to enter deeply into the world. Equip us to respond to your call, gather up what we have, and offer it to all. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of creation, provide protection from the elements and other hazards to all those whose work brings them outside, for fishers, ranchers, line workers, and construction crews. Guide us to live carefully alongside the wonders of the land and waters. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Open the hearts of all leaders, especially those who served in the armed forces, that they respond to their commission with wisdom and patience. Ensure all who serve are kept safe in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for an end to all war and armed conflict. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Filled with your compassionate presence for all who are suffering from addiction, mental illness, injury, or illness of any kind, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Rosala, Pam, Joe, Anna, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Draw helpers to their side so that they feel relief from their burdens. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Call our faith communities to do marvelous things. Bless the labor and efforts of this congregation, that we may be a sign of your presence in the world as we do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for those who have courageously gone before us, and remember those who have died this past week, especially Linda Sturdivant and Laura Samuels. May we too show a deep trust in you throughout our lives. God of grace,
hear our prayers.
We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to move around and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. God of grace, your love reaches to the heavens and your abundance to the depths of the seas. Bless what we offer to your service, our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity, now and always. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Amen. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come, eat this meal of gladness.
Amen.
Stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Nourishing God, at this table you have refreshed us with the holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for your and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Brantley is going to offer a prayer for our meal, which will be immediately after the service. Go ahead.
Dear Lord.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for your church.
Bless this
meal
to the goodness of our hearts.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
The Spirit of the Triune God bless you with joy, anoint you with compassion, and send you in love. Amen.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Oh.
go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.